I think this is another text, actually, for understanding for me why crucifying individualistic personal pronouns in worship is also of high value to me. Because if we're worshiping in the spirit that's being described in Philippians 2, then it suggests that there is a value to the individual, but there's also a deep sense that we are called to a common life, which of self-giving. And therefore, if all of our songs, or even the majority of our songs, or even if I would say many of our songs, are all personal pronoun songs, me, my, and I, there's an incredible sense that we're actually not able to practice this, because the most used word in the service is going to be my, me, my, I, that cluster. I was not long ago in a service where I actually counted after the service, because I had a run sheet of all the lyrics of all the songs, and I was a visiting preacher, and I went through and counted, and there were 85 uses of me, my, I in all the music that had been chosen in that service. It was by far the most dominant word in the service. That feels to me like a complete violation of Philippians 2, right? It feels like, so now I've come into worship mostly set about myself and what I want to either say or how I want to be seen by God, rather than actually how I'm seeing God and how we are seeing each other as a consequence of being in God's presence. So while I think it's not necessary to purge all use of that, I do think this is the kind of text that if we take our lyrics to this text and we ask, are the lyrics of the songs that we're singing actually supported by Philippians 2? That's just one of the great texts to use as a litmus test. Is it helping us to cultivate a Philippians 2 life? Or taking it to Micah 6:8, is it helping us to cultivate a Micah 6:8 life? Is that really, are these words that we're singing and the emotions that are behind it, is it really present in those texts? Or is it really not present? And if it's not present, then at least we need to determine as a worshiping team or worship planners, what are we going to do about such songs that can often be such a distortion of an understanding of our individual relationship with Christ or our communion with one another? Does this make sense? You see how these things connect? So it feels to me like you could do this through a series of different filters, but I think it's not too much to think that the worship songs and the liturgy and everything else you're planning to put together for worship service needs to be put through some neutral filters, which are not just the filters of does it fit the theme of today, does it fit the liturgical season, is it in keeping with some kind of rhythmic pattern in your church that you should do such a thing. Is it that, or but what does it do, how does it represent God? How does the total picture of the music and the liturgy actually represent God? How does it represent the church? What could a person derive from the words that are spoken from front about through music and liturgy? How could they, what would they infer about the character of God, about the purposes of God in the world? So it's a two-way kind of filtering. The horizontal filter I want to suggest are these filters that may have to do with liturgical season, ways that we might use the lectionary use of certain hymn texts or some praise texts or song texts or whatever it is that we want to use for the liturgical coherence of the service. But the other filter that cuts across that is really this question of, but does it really represent God truly? Is it really representing the people of God truly? Is it really representing all of the people of God? Is it telling a full story of what it is that the gospel is really about? And where it's not, then we have to evaluate. Is there something that we need to add? Is there some way that we can modify this? Do we need to banish this song from our repertoire? I mean, as pastor, used to sit down at least once a year, and although we tried to do this weekly, we would go through and have various filters that we would use for all of the songs that we were using regularly, and determine which ones we were just going to permanently eradicate from our worship. And it had to do with various qualities, but the kinds of content qualities that I'm talking about now is one of the important sets of filters that we use, rather than simply popularity, familiarity, habit, and a lot of bad theology that can easily creep in.